Welcome back, everyone, for this week's episode of our Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast. This is Smoky Mountain Wrestling episode number 53 from January the 30th of 1993. We are in a new venue. We're in Newton, North Carolina. So with that said, you know what we always do. I would ask Harper how he's doing, but I'm going to throw it to Doc first because he is the master of research, and I'm sure he's got some demographics for us here on Newton, North Carolina. Doc, the floor is yours. Nice.
Yeah. So we are at the Newton Rec Center, Newton, North Carolina. You could probably technically call this Eastern North Carolina. But here, this is a little interesting. Newton appears to not be as much of a flophouse of a town as some of the rest of these rundown pieces of shit. So I'm not too sure if Harper's going to like this. Mike, I'm pretty sure you're going to be moving there. There's about 13,000 people. So that's a big town, right?
Yeah.
Fuck, that's a major metropolis.
Right. And like I said, Harper won't like this. Mike probably will. Only 77.58% white.
Wow. Sounds like a pretty diverse place for the Smoky Mountains.
We got 12.3% black, so Michael love it. Harper's thinking about all the crosses he can burn.
Yeah.
12.3%? Damn, we got over 1,000 black people there.
Right.
That's a hell of a place, man. Diversity.
American dream.
Yeah.
Whites and blacks working together. And
that's right. How it should be.
Our median household income in 2017 is $36,000, so that's pretty high for that territory. I mean, that's pretty good for this part of the world.
Wow.
Only 12% are below poverty. I think that may actually be less than the national average.
Yeah.
Like I said, this is a major metropolis, man. This place is moving on up in the world. This is like the Jeffersons.
I believe they are a very far, 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 far suburb of maybe one of the bigger cities in North Carolina. Probably many miles away, but still considered for statistical census purposes in one of the metropolitan areas of a larger city. So they probably have access to jobs and clean running water and don't have to worry about moonshine stills blowing up near and around them and getting impaled by flying, exploding moonshine stills. Right,
plumbing.
Right.
They have warm water. They have a toilet they can go sit in their home.
They don't just go out in the backyard and dig a hole and shit and cover it up like a fucking cat.
That's nice, Doc. Glad to see you're being so complimentary to the good people there.
Shut up. Here's another thing. Newton, North Carolina is apparently, and I realize I'm maybe only talking to Harper here, because there's not a chance in hell you know who this is. But I believe that Newton is the birthplace of Tori Amos.
Oh, God.
I think I know who that is.
I remember her.
Redheaded singer, early 90s.
Yeah.
Oh, never mind. I don't know who that is.
Lillian Fair type of broad.
She was probably a little bit before all that. But yeah, you're right. Mike,
Harper,
you have something to go with.
The only thing Harper just thought in his mind was, yeah, I'd bang her.
Well, yeah. Or no. I mean, every female is met with a fork in the road in our minds. Yes or no?
Well, man, it's true.
Okay, fair point. And then every conversation that happens after that is dependent upon that first fork in the road, yes or no. If it's no, it's can you possibly make me a sandwich at some point?
That's nice.
Wow.
So you can go Wikipedia Tori Amos later and learn a little something about white culture.
Care. Are we done with the demographics?
Did you hear that, people? He said he did not care about white culture.
I did not say that. I said, are we done with the graphics, with the demographics?
Sure.
Okay. Thank you.
But, hey, man, this is affluence, man. This is This is just a ton of money. I mean, I'm surprised these people didn't show up and make it rain. Shower the workers with dollar bills.
All right. Well, we jump into the show. Well, first, Harper, how are you?
I'm doing all right, bro. Sitting here chilling.
All right. Anything on in the background?
No.
No?
Okay.
Golden Girls went off a while ago.
Oh, yeah. That went off like at 9, 10 o'clock.
Yeah, that's true. All right, well, we kick things off, and Dutch and Bob are at the desk as usual. It took me a few tries, but I finally figured out what Dutch's sign says when I got it paused right at that right moment. And Dutch's signs say, "Please excuse Bob. I think he's on Prozac." The problem was Dutch's top sign is the one he kept up, and he dropped the bottom one instead of dropping the one he was supposed to drop. So you never really get a clean shot of the one that says, "I think he's on Prozac." They also, at the beginning, pull out a name out of the hat for the Beat the Champ match against Smothers, and it's our old friend Brad Batten who makes his return to Smoky Mountain. We haven't seen the Battens in a long time. It's been months, to my knowledge. And the main event is going to be the Rock and Roll Express versus the Stud Stable, and that was set up last week at the end of the episode before we went into a wild melee. Doc, anything from the opening?
I'm glad you cleared up the sign confusion, because my note was, is it messed up? And is this the Batten that's still alive today?
I think Bart's the one that's alive right now.
All right.
Might be wrong. I'd have to look. But
shout
I think
out,
Bart.
Shout out to you.
Yeah, I think it's
Batten
Bart.
Twin that's alive.
Yeah. Joe Stassi from Old School Pro Wrestling Lives, I think it was him. No, it may have been it was Jeff, another one of the guys on Facebook. He had told me that when he had taken a picture with him and Ronnie Garvin at one of the events in the area, that Batten was open to doing shows. So I probably could have, if I just reach out to him, I can probably get him on the show.
Well, if you'd stop working that goddamn Mid-South show with your little buddy LGBT and work on our show, maybe Harper and I could draw a check instead of having to be on government assistance.
This fucking government cheese is getting me in the shits, man. Come on.
So, if I reach out to him, I probably could get him on the show. So we'll see. But anyway, let's get into things. The first match on the card is Tim Horner versus the Dark Secret. My notes from this match are: Horner wins with a modified version of his natural bridge, where he cradle suplexes the Dark Secret because there is some sort of botch at the end. Doc, your thoughts first.
Actually, I'm going to say something here. I'm going to say my note was, I thought Horner did something good by taking the botch into a fisherman suplex instead of trying to do his move again. So I actually thought, it was botched, which happens, but I thought Horner went with it well and made it seem as seamless as possible. So I'm actually going to give him a little bit of credit there. Now,
we got more important over there scanning fucking Instagram. That's the noise you hear again.
Right. Well, he's over there checking out the
bitches, the big broads on that page he showed me.
The ESPN Sports Center girls calendar.
Yeah.
Mullet of Morton. It's like they have a contest on who can fucking find the biggest bitch on Instagram or fucking Twitter, and they post that shit.
Yeah, it's like
he ain't denying it either. You hear me?
8 pounds it's like 8 pounds of bitch in a 5 pound bag, you know?
Yeah.
Fuck. But
the only
also,
thing Harper doesn't do is do an eight ball when he's looking at the pictures.
No.
Did you guys notice that we had an advertisement for the Smoky Mountain Wrestling School during this match?
Yeah.
I think I'm going to go. You know, last week we talked about starting a BTT wrestling school, but if Smoky Mountain Wrestling already has one up and running, I think I'm going to go over there and learn some moves that I can take back to the workplace and sugar hold somebody.
That's nice. Good
luck. I would love
that.
To know who fucking went to that and if they amounted to anything.
Well, Cornette mentioned that school once on either the drive-thru or the Jim Cornette Experience, and I don't know if they ever really got it off the ground and running, where there were like a bunch of people that came out of it. So I think I remember Jim Cornette saying maybe one person actually went, but wow. I don't 100% remember. But it was, you'd realize who the trainer was going to be at the school.
Yeah.
Do you know who that is? It's Tim Horner that was going to do it. Which, hey, if he's teaching them how to actually wrestle, that's not a bad thing, but that dude needs to stay away from any kind of trying to teach somebody how to cut a promo.
Yeah.
You want to teach me? You want to teach me how to wrestle? Great. I will gladly learn from you. But let's leave the promo school to somebody else on the car. Let's bring in Tracy Smothers or the Dirty White Boy or Ron Wright for that aspect of the show. Anything else from that match, Hopper?
No, it just said they had the botch, but they covered it. You know, it happened.
Yeah. I agree. I thought the botch was covered fine. So, all right, we go from that to Paul Orndorff, and let me play the promo from Mr. Orndorff right here.
Bob Caudle standing by with Mr. Wonderful, Paul Orndorff. Let's get his comments.
All right, fans, and with us right now, here he is, Mr. Wonderful himself, Paul Orndorff. And I saw one of the guys that had been giving you a lot of trouble. You just saw him with a tremendous win up there in the ring, and that's that White Lightning, Tim Horner, Mr. Wonderful.
Well, you know, it seems to me that Tim Horner has gotten a lot of the respect of the people around here.
Yep.
But you know, Mr. Wonderful has been all over the world. Mr. Wonderful has beaten Ron Simmons. Mr. Wonderful has beaten Ronnie Garvin. Mr. Wonderful has beaten Hulk Hogan.
Right.
Mr. Wonderful has done everything that a wrestler could possibly do. But you know, there's a certain few here in Smoky Mountain Wrestling. Shut your mouth up. I don't have to hear this crap. I don't have to hear it. There's a certain amount of people here that isn't giving Mr. Wonderful the respect he needs. Well, I'm here to tell you right now that somewhere along the line, down the road, that somebody's going to get hurt real bad before it's over and done with, until I get the respect I need.
All right, fans, there it is from Mr. Wonderful, Paul Orndorff. We'll be back. We'll have more right after this.
All right, Doc, I'll throw it to you first. What'd you think?
I thought it was solid but not spectacular, okay but not great. We've heard better. Got to also remember that he did, the last time we saw him, he was busting on a little kid, so that was funny. So, yeah.
Harper, what about you?
I love how he always mentions guys from other promotions that he's defeated, you know, the big names. I mean, no one ever done that.
Boy, and it puts the actual, to me, it puts Smoky Mountain over, because you're mentioning world class, or I'm not world class, WCW guys. You're mentioning very big names. So if you're now here in Smoky Mountain, yeah. You're right. I like, he doesn't mention organization.
If I took time out of my busy schedule to come work here, it must be shit hot.
Right.
Yeah. That's exactly where I'm getting at. So I like that part of it a lot, man. That was actually, you know, gold. I'm glad he was doing that. Anything else from the promo?
No.
Nope.
All right. So we go from that to another promo. But before the promo, it's a promo from Primetime Brian Lee. But before the promo, it is, we get an update from Bob Caudle about Bullet Bob, who's currently in Japan touring, and then we see numerous shots from Japanese magazines about the Smoky Mountain Wrestling. Doc, did you have anything from that before I go to the promo from Primetime Brian Lee?
Well, yeah, I just had Bob Armstrong is in Japan scouting talent. I wonder what kind of angle that might lead to down the road.
Well, yeah, let's see. Harper and I cut a video on that one. I mean, I'm sorry. Me and you cut a YouTube channel video on that one. And we actually need to redo that with Harper so that we can all three chime in on Danger Kanemura. Not just leave it at that. The YouTube channel is tinyurl.com/BTTYouTube, but you are absolutely correct. Harper, did you have anything from the Japan mentions here?
Dude, imagine those guys coming in from fucking Japan and their first taste of America are those assholes in the fucking Smoky Mountains.
Well, hell, Harper, when Brian last went down there, his parents said, be careful, they don't like Jews down in Tennessee.
What did he tell us? Didn't Brian talk to us about that too?
Yes.
Yeah, he mentioned
it. Because my whole point
it.
Is there's no way my parents would have let me go to Tennessee when I was 12 or 14 or whatever it was.
Let Jews there.
And, yeah, basically it was, be careful. They don't really tend to like our people.
Different world. But, yeah, you know, it is what it is. Okay, let's cue it up now. We got primetime Brian Lee now, and he's gonna cut a promo. So here it is.
He's a wild one, and he's a weird one, primetime, no doubt.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. Kevin Sullivan, every time I step in the ring with you, you bust my head with something. Kevin Sullivan, every time I face you, you're putting scars on my head. Well, I'll tell you what. I went to Commissioner Bob Armstrong, and I said I need to take care of this problem once and for all. And he granted me a match. You know, no matter how many matches I signed down the road for Kevin Sullivan, February 19th, Kevin, I got you first blood. That means falls don't count. You coming in the ring with whatever you want to doesn't count. The first man to bleed loses the match. And I guarantee you one thing. You drew first blood. Primetime Brian Lee will draw last. I'll see you February 19th.
All right, fans. That's from Primetime Brian.
All right, so we got a date at least now to look forward to where these two are going to get it on again as far as a match goes, and it's going to be a first blood match. Doc, what are your thoughts from this?
First blood with Kevin Sullivan, who is a guy who carries a spike. That may not be smart or your best stipulation for revenge.
You may have a point there. Harper, what about you?
Yeah, when he said it's the first blood match, I was like, well, I guess you're losing.
Well, I mean, you can't blame him, though, for wanting to... He's been butchered.
Yes.
I mean...
Over and over again.
Right,
which is a great way to start a sentence.
It's true. He's been butchered, so he wants to get a piece. He wants a piece of Sullivan at this point. I mean, he wants blood. I mean, there's no other way to say it. So he's had his blood, you know, spilled. So he wants blood. I'm fine with that. But I do agree. This man walks around with a spike. This man can pull a spike out of his trunks when a Japanese guy flings him across the ring. And again, shameless plug, go to tinyurl.com/BTZ YouTube if you want to see what we're talking about. It may spoil things down the road for you, but Kevin Sullivan is well-versed in handling a spike. He actually can pull one out of his trunks while running the ropes. So, that said, I don't know. I don't really have anything else from this other than I would say it's going to be a bloodbath. Somebody's going to get some blood is going to spill, and we'll leave it at that. What date did he say, Doc? February 19th?
Something like that. March 19th, October 19th.
No, February. We're
on your calendar.
Yeah, mark it on your calendar. We're about a month
be
away.
Be there.
The old be there. That's right. Anything else from y'all on that?
No.
Okay. Doc, how do we feel about the local promo that is up next?
I think you ought to play it because my exact note for what Smothers is about to do is Jesus, that was some hillbilly gold.
I agree. Here it is.
Fuller, Jimmy Golden, and Dutch Mantel. Be sure to be watching Smoky Mountain Wrestling here in just a few minutes to find out who the Heavenly Bodies tag team partner will be. And also in Barberville, the wild-eyed Southern boy, Tracy Smothers, against the Dirty White Boy.
That's exactly right. Can't wait to come back to Barberville right there. See all them pretty Southern bells. I like them. Short and tall, big and small, don't really matter. White boy, you about here running your mouth, hollering until your eyeballs going to pop out of your head, big man. The story goes like this, and it goes back to a country boy can't survive. All you good old boys out there, put your cups in the kettle. Get out there in your four-wheel drives. Load up your ladies. Bring your babies, because I'm going to load my lip with some dip, and I'm going to jack some jaw. Southern style, right on you, white boy.
Also in Barberville, you will see for the tag team titles the Rock and Roll Express against the Heavenly Bodies.
You know, every promoter in the country is wanting the Rock and Roll Express. But what the Rock and Roll Express wants is to put those Smoky Mountain tag team titles back around our waist because all the fans are fixing to see what happened. Because Jimmy Cornette will go to any extreme to get those belts back on the Heavenly Bodies, which he did, and he brought in an old friend. Well, you see, Jimmy Cornette, we don't care if there's two Heavenly Bodies or if there's 15 of them. We are here to stay, and we're going to prove to you in Barville that we are the true champions.
Wrestling fans introducing from...
That kind of ruins a few things, but let's gloss over the Rock and Roll Express right now. Let's just talk about Tracy Smothers.
Well, no. First of all, Morton said every promoter wants us. I guess Vince isn't considered a promoter.
No, he's not.
Okay.
But anyway. This is a South motherfucker.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, go ahead, Doc. Anything? Let's talk about Tracy Smothers here.
All right. I said it. That is just some hillbilly gold, and it's not directionally different than Horner. It's just delivered so much better and more credibly.
Yes.
And it's just, he's got a rap. I mean, it's just all you boys, you're in the babies, and just
I'm pissed on myself. He likes the rats short and tall, big and small. Yeah. I'm going to load my lip with some dip, and I'm going to jack some jaws. What the shit?
Yeah.
He's speaking a language straight to him. I mean, no middleman. Let me get right to you. Let me talk to my people.
Yeah, none of that. I'm going to jump on your back, and when I get tired, you jump off and blah, yeah, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
chicken fucker bullshit. Yes, I agree. Harper, any thoughts?
That is music to those motherfuckers' ears, man.
It really does. And I thought this at the time, and I think he was on my list. But, I mean, when you go back and you really dissect these episodes, because I've seen them, but we really dissect them now, it really speaks to how underrated in the history of wrestling Tracy Smothers is.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah, Freddie Joe Floyd, Doc.
And it goes back to my point is, I'm not trying to speak ill of Brad Armstrong, but I've heard Corny say he wanted Armstrong to be his champ. I'm like, shit, I think I'd rather have Smothers than Brad Armstrong from where I'm sitting, but what do I know, you know?
Well, that's that old thing about how first off, Brad Armstrong was very good in-ring.
Yeah, yeah.
But that goes back to like what you always hear, and I've heard a lot of people say this, not just Corny. If you remember when he didn't say this when we were recording, but Big Swole, Randy Thornton from WCW, No Limit Soldiers, was telling me, because he was good friends with Brad. He said that he was like, Brad was one of the funniest and most charismatic people you would ever meet. Like when you talking to him backstage, he was like, you never really saw that version of Brad out in the ring. But Brad was just a good dude who... when the camera wasn't on, and he kind of did a little bit with the No Limit Soldiers in WCW, but when the camera wasn't on and he was just around his boys, man, he was just a fucking riot to be around. So I think that's kind of why Corny says that a little, you know, when he does say it, because he saw the personality that Brad had. But to the point you make, man, Smothers is loaded with personality and loaded with charisma. I mean, just you know, take that verbatim what he said. He likes women short and tall, big and small. I'm going to load my lip with some dip, and I'm going to jack some jaws. I mean, you see that on a freaking Word document, you're like, what the hell did he say? But
yeah,
he made it work right there. Doc, anything else?
Nah, he damn sure did make it work.
Yeah. Harper, what about you?
Uh-uh.
Next match is Johnny Kidd versus Kevin Sullivan. Sullivan just attacks this poor bastard from the start. At the 13:43 mark, he's beating this guy's ass so bad outside the ring that some lady with Zubaz on is covering her eyes from attempted murder, from the attempted murder of Kevin Sullivan on this poor bastard. I want to thank at Dean Coles, at Dean Wrestling on Twitter, because he was the one that I first saw notice this. And then when I was watching it back, I'm like, that woman with Zubaz sure was covering her eyes like, you know, there was a murder happening. And Sullivan get, you know, actually Johnny Kidd, who is a newcomer, I think it's his first time there, he actually gets the win via DQ, and that was that. Doc, your thoughts on this murder that we saw?
Man, Sullivan gets guys out of the ring faster than Magnum pins guys in 1986. It's impressive. He's just like a couple of chops and we're going out to my playground.
Yeah,
the other thing is that you know, never let the facts get in the way of a good story, but I thought the ending was goofy. Like, all of a sudden, that's what ended it? What ended it? I didn't see anything. Just, I didn't catch why the DQ happened.
Oh!
Although there was like, seven things before it that could have been DQ'd, or are we stopping it because this guy's about to die? And then later,
that's true.
You know, I really like the angle of Night Stalker having to put the cloth over his eyes to calm him down.
Yeah, but
the only thing, but the only thing I don't like about it is that I think they have that reversed. I think Sullivan ought to be the one that has to put the cloth over the Night Stalker's eyes, because he's the big burly dude who shouldn't be talking and should be more of the wild-assed guy.
I'm all right with that part. Let me get Harper's thoughts, and I'm going to answer a question that you had, Doc. Harper, what'd you think?
Yeah. I love how when they put the cloth over his eyes, it was like he's an alligator. And they got to... They got to calm him down to get him on the truck because he's in some pond, you know, threatening some fucking kids or some lady's dog or something.
Jesus!
Oh, you got a point, though. Jeez. Yeah, that's true. Like an alligator. Good one, Harper.
Yeah.
Doc, you asked why he got DQ'd. First off, I agree. I mean, he plastered him on a few chairs a few times before they get back in the ring and the referee DQs it. The funny part is, I think the reason they DQ'd it is the referee is in the ring and Sullivan's got the guy in the corner and he gets well past the five count as the ref's counting. And I think the ref's like, okay, I've had enough of this crap. This dude is just not trying to follow any rules whatsoever. So he probably should have DQ'd him when he used the chair on the outside a few times. But of course that didn't happen. So whatever, he gets DQ'd in the ring at the end, but it is what it is. All right, let's go to the promo now where Kevin Sullivan is now out there, and he's just, this dude is nuts. So here it is.
What in the world is it with you guys anyway? I mean, how can you get any wilder than you've been, Kevin?
First of all, I'm really not a bad guy.
Oh, no.
Persecution makes people do strange things. First, Commissioner Armstrong, you try to keep me out of Smoky Mountain Wrestling because of my violent past. All of us make mistakes, Commissioner. You should know that. When you come down for breakfast and look at your four sons, you've made four mistakes, at least in your life. And then, when you couldn't keep me out of Smoky Mountain Wrestling, you hired the Mongolian Stomper to eradicate me. But when I showed the Stomper the fire and singed him, he looked like Mongolian beef rather than a warrior. And then you sick, demented individual, Miss Armstrong, you got that poor young Brian Lee to get out of a sick bed and give him a quest of some kind of holy grail to get rid of me. But Mr. Lee's rather large baboon-like head met the golden spike and it split open like a pineapple. But Commissioner, now you're getting into my personal life. And you don't get into my personal life because it's okay if you don't like early release. It happens to be a law. Just the other day, I was sitting with my analyst and he had a bunch of doctors with him. And there was a fly buzzing around the room and it landed on my hand. And in the old days, I would have squashed that fly, or maybe at least pulled off the wings. But I didn't do anything. And they all said to me, look at him. He wouldn't even hurt a fly. But now, Bob Armstrong, you want Brian Lee to draw blood on me in a first blood match? Well, as a friend of mine said from Milwaukee, or was that Hackensack? Send more, they all taste good. Ah, send more, they all taste good. Send more, they all taste good.
Fans, we're going to be back. He's cured, you can tell that. We'll be back right after this.
What is this nonsense about a fly? Doc, I'm sure you got some thoughts. Go ahead.
I like this better the second time than the first, to be honest. I thought it was good. It established. I popped my ass off, and he said, "You come downstairs and see the four mistakes you made."
Yeah,
that was gold, and you'll see more of that kind of commentary later in Smoky Mountain as well. Mm. But I thought this was an effective promo. It's goofy, but I mean, Sullivan's kind of goofy. He's crazy.
Yeah, I would agree. He called his spike golden in the promo. That spike is not golden; it's rusty.
Well, blood turns gold rusty, right? Or
yeah, I guess. But he
popped the iron in the blood is oxidizing the metal.
And he popped me when he was talking about not hurting a fly. But okay, Harper, anything from you?
I think when he mentions about his four kids, you can hear Dutch trying to hold in his laugh.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
I'd like to tell you a story about what's going to happen a little bit later on, but it would be a major spoiler. But let's just say the Armstrong kids get a little bit of a punishment later on, too, in promos by someone else.
We'll leave it at that. All right.
Yeah.
Let's
do you know going. Who I'm talking about?
Yeah, but I don't want to. Yeah, let's keep moving. I don't want to talk about it. We go to the next promo. It is Ron Wright on Down and Dirty with Dutch. And, you know, a few weeks back, we kind of popularized this right here.
Jesus!
And I kind of think that's about to really come to fruition, even a lot more from Ron Wright. So let's listen to what Ron has to say here.
Down and Dirty with Dutch. I'm Dutch Mantell, and of course, you're not. Today, I have on my program a special guest, a good friend of mine, the legendary Mr. Ron Wright. Let's all give him a real big hand, a legend in his own time right here. And Mr. Wright, I'm bringing you out here today because today is the day that Mr. Reno Riggins has said that he is going to give you an answer. Now, it's been several weeks, and I have him here. Mr. Riggins, will you come on in?
You know, we already know what the man's going to tell me. He can't turn the fame Ron Wright down. How you doing, Mr. Reno? Glad to have you here. You know, today now, the time's up, and I want you, Anchor, I want you to go ahead and tell me that you're going to come into my stable so you can carry the bag of the dirty white boy, and we can begin to teach you some of the masterful wrestling that old brother Ron Wright's got, and I've done parlayed to the dirty white boy and made him the champion. Is that right?
Okay, Mr. Riggins, your answer after long weeks of deliberations and negotiations, I might add, what is your answer to Mr. Ron Wright? Will you join him?
Well, Mr. Wright, I've thought about your answer. I've thought about it long and hard for the past few weeks. I mean, I've had many of nightless sleep, and I'll tell you what, I've thought it over with myself. I've thought it over with my family, my friends. I've even talked to some of these great fans out here. And really, I talked to my dad, and my dad told me, he said, son, if you can't do something on your own, then just don't do it at all. So I'm going to have to stand alone on this situation, Mr. Wright.
What? You crazy. You don't know what you're saying, man. You're turning down the great Ron Wright. I'm the walking, talking, living legend in wrestling, and you're going to turn me down, not help carry the dirty white boy's suitcase? I can't believe this. I can't believe this.
Are you turning him down?
Yeah, no, you can't do that. That's against the law. I ain't never had anybody turn me down in my life. You're not going to be able to do that. You're going to have to come around and do better than that.
Now, you see how you got him upset? You ought to be ashamed of yourself. A man like this. Calm down, Ron. Okay. I tell you something.
He ain't got a bit of sense. He oughtn't even be in.
Okay, fans.
You something. I can take a man over the street and teach him enough in 5 minutes about wrestling to whoop that lame brain in him. Don't even know why I made the offer to him to begin with.
Calm down. Calm down. Okay, fans. They've seen the answer, Reno Riggins. I don't think it's right, but Mr. Wright, are you okay? Are you okay? Okay, we'll be back in 2 minutes. Don't forget that big championship match coming up. Dutch.
Oh, man. Harper, I'll throw it to you first.
Yeah, that shit was great. And what the fuck is Reno thinking, huh? What the fuck is he thinking? What's he got better going for himself?
He's an idiot.
Whatever happened?
I can't answer that. Whatever happened to him? I don't know. I don't know what happened to him. Doc, you know what happened to him?
I don't think he's long for Smoky Mountain. I think he leaves, and I think he did some things in WWE, maybe, and maybe WCW, a job guy. But my note was Reno is dumb.
Yeah, what a fucking idiot, you know.
Here's the other thing: did Ron Wright just refer to himself as he's sitting in a wheelchair as the walking, talking, living legend?
Yeah.
Yes.
I was thinking the same thing.
Tell you what made that so great too. We have no investment in Reno Riggins.
No.
Reno Riggins is just a guy, right?
He had a hot match with Smothers last week.
Well, what I mean, he had a real good match against Paul Orndorff, too, a couple weeks back in Clearfield. But my point is, Reno Riggins is, he's just a guy. But you put him in there with a guy like Ron Wright, who is a legend, and it's just like, all of a sudden you're interested in seeing what this dude's going to decide.
And yeah.
Yeah, storyline-wise, he's an idiot for not signing with Ron Wright. I love Ron Wright's last line. I can take a lame brain man off the street to whoop that old idiot. I love that part. But I just thought this was more Ron Wright gold, man. You can't deny that. And
no.
But Doc, anything else before we move on?
Mm-mm. It's just we've got closure to a more minor angle here, and Reno. Yeah, he jumped off. He's messed up. He struck out. Poor Reno.
I'm gonna play like a quick 30 seconds. This is Bob Cottle and Dutch Mantel giving an update. Remember, the main event's supposed to be the Stud Stable versus the Rock and Roll. So I need to play something related to that real quick.
Note that says the Stud Stable still hasn't arrived.
Okay, I don't know what the problem is. Look, something's had to happen. Wait a minute, Bob. Excuse me. I'm gonna make a phone call. I'll be right back.
All right, Dutch is gonna check into that, fans.
Wrestling fans.
All right, so I wanted to play that just to plant that seed. The Stud Stable is not in the building right now, and you should be aware of that. So, Doc, I'm going to keep moving, and Harper, I'm going to keep moving, but I just wanted to make that point known, okay?
All right.
Yeah.
Because it is important to everything. So, okay, we go to the next match, and it is Brad Batten versus Tracy Smothers. Now, do y'all have much notes from this match, Doc?
I have a couple.
Okay. It's a face-to-face match, babyface. I didn't have much other than Smothers gets the win, so I'll let you mention whatever you've got noted.
Well, we had the six guys who brought a Tracy sign to the show.
Yeah, saw that.
I'm very happy that Hooked on Phonics worked and they got Tracy spelled right and got the E in there, so good job.
That's nice. That's real Gold. Nice of you.
Gold started those six young gentlemen.
That's nice.
And then did you see that fat person that Tracy let fly the flag? I was like, was that a man or a woman?
That was a big old fat guy.
Was it?
Yeah.
And I couldn't tell. I just saw a bunch of blubber, and I didn't know if there was titties under there, and a mustache doesn't really, you know, define a man or a woman in that part of the country. So I was like, I think I see a mustache, but that's not going to help me out much.
That's nice, Doc. More insults to the good people.
Good that's, people. You know,
that's
that was the,
will you
that
stop?
That was that guy's Super Bowl.
That was
that fucking play.
Jesus.
He hasn't washed his hands since. But that has nothing to do with the fact that he waved the flag. He just hasn't washed his hands. See, here's the thing that the people don't know. Mike is really biting his lip because he thinks I'm hilarious, and he hates the people more than I do in that part of the country because they're racist against his people. And but he has to come on here and play good guy for all you people. And so
play because
he's trying to figure out with his limited pea brain how to monetize this shit when I've already given him every opportunity and idea that he needs to get y'all's money. The other thing I had here was, did Smothers just use Horner's or steal Horner's finish?
I missed it. What happened? Did I miss
it? I thought he did a back a bridge on him and pinned him with the bridge.
It was a sunset flip, huh?
Yeah, wasn't. It wasn't a.
Okay.
Yeah.
I that's why I asked. I didn't say he did. I couldn't remember, but I had a note here because I was taking notes and trying to get done and do other things with my busy life and stuff.
Oh, I bet you did. Okay. Are you done?
Yeah. I did more on that match than you did, you lazy prick.
Okay. Hopper, you got anything?
No. It was basically the same match from last week.
I thought so, too. I mean, you got two baby faces, so, I mean, that's why I always say I'm not a fan of baby face versus baby face. But, I mean, it was fine. You know, Tracy gets the win like he should and continues his winning streak and holds on to the title, and we, progress. We keep moving forward. Now, so after that is a promo coming up, and so here it is. Let me play it for you. Again, this is after Tracy Smothers gets his victory.
As he's our winner over Brad Patton. All right, fans, and that was our Beat the Champ match, and you saw Tracy Smothers right there as Tracy walks out with another $1,000 and moves ever closer to that $5,000 bonus. Jim Cornette, Sandy Scott.
Hello, Mr. Scott. Mr. Scott's general manager of Smoky Mountain Wrestling, and I sure do think that he does a fine job. And I tell you what, Mr. Scott, I would hate to see these fine viewers of Smoky Mountain Wrestling, the millions of people out there on television, I'd hate to see them deprived, to see them cheated out of a title match. They were promised a tag team title match today.
Let
me just ask you this one favor. Please, Mr. Scott, and I know all these fine folks out there, they would agree with me. If the Stud Stable don't get here in time, then you promise the people a title match. Hey, you know, false advertising, very bad. Tell you what, the Heavenly Bodies can take that match.
What's going on here?
Hey,
what are you out here for?
Hey, I'm out here with Mr. Scott. He invited me. Mr. Scott, I really appreciate it. I'll tell you what, you know, I think we should get that match.
Let me explain something to you.
What match?
We have told the fans that there will be a tag team title match here tonight. And there will be.
Yeah.
If the Stud Stable does not come here, then the Heavenly Bodies can have it.
No, yes.
They will. Hey, come here. They'll be here. They will be here. It's like that. Who is this guy anyway?
Yeah, he's the manager. The manager of Smoky Mountain Wrestling, our commissioner, Bob Armstrong, is in Japan. Your guys better show up.
Something had to happen. They should be here.
We'll be back. Right now, let's take this brief time out.
Okay, so what you don't know is that the graphic right after that promo says tag title match up next. So that does not give the Stud Stable any more time to come in. Doc, I'll throw it to you first and give me your thoughts on that promo before we go to what I'm about to talk about.
I was just wondering if the studs were off working on their Bunkhouse Buck and Colonel Parker costumes and lost track of time.
Nah, that ain't it, bruh.
Well, maybe they had a flood that washed out the holler, and the one-lane bridge that they call Goatman's Bridge washed out, and they couldn't get to this town. Is that it?
Nah, bruh.
Okay.
Oh,
I was just trying to help.
We'll find out shortly what happened.
I was just trying to Shaggy and Scooby-Doo figure out the mystery, but whatever.
Yeah, you're off. Hopper, anything from the promo before we get into what's about to go down?
Uh-oh. We don't want to lose Harper right now. It's getting ready to heat up. Harper, where are you?
Hi.
There he is. He's on mute.
Yeah, they basically just redid that promo with the Rock and Roll Express.
Well, that was
when
his mom
was in the hospital.
When she was having surgery for her eardrums or something.
Yeah.
I'm going to say something else, too, because I think Corny got this from Mid-South as well. But what do you
think? So what? What's your point?
Yeah.
It's not a bad thing if you just hold on.
The greatest wrestler of all time is the Nature Boy Ric Flair, and he's not even the first Nature Boy. People borrow stuff.
Nobody said I was saying it was a negative, asshole.
Everything goes back to Mid-South where you come from.
Well, I mean, that's what I grew up watching, you fuckhead.
You're a Watts apologist.
Okay.
When he's a racist, and he sold all of his guys out to get jobbed out to Jim Crockett.
Well, straight from the Heavenly Bodies and the Rock and Roll. I'm sorry. We go straight from that promo with Cornette to a match between the Heavenly Bodies and the Rock and Roll Express. And It's for the tag titles. Now, don't lose track of the fact that Dutch keeps saying something happened, that Fuller and Golden aren't there, and this is unusual, and he thinks there may be some funny business going on. Now, at the 34-minute mark, Fuller and Golden show up, and Fuller says, "We've been out chasing tires," on commentary. Fuller and Golden then try to get into the ring and get into the match, but security holds them back and escorts them out. And then we hear out of the blue that the Rock and Roll has been signed to appear on a WCW pay-per-view coming up.
Mm. Now,
I'm going to stop right there because all that goes down in the first few minutes, but there's a lot that's about to happen. So I thought I'd stop, and as far as I'll let you two give some commentary on what you thought up until that point when they mentioned the WCW pay-per-view. Harper, do you have any thoughts before we get too deep into this?
Yeah, I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That shit made my ears perk up.
It sure does, because it's coming up. Basically, and that's not spoiling things at this point. If you heard that, you will realize that the Heavenly Bodies and the Rock and Roll Express are going to be on WCW TV. I mean, it's a fact at that point. So, Doc, anything up until that point?
Yeah, I thought this was, first of all, the start was just action-packed, and Rock and Roll comes out hot. They look great. And that leads me, you're like, well, why do you say that? Well, it leads me to a point where there was a spot where Corny's mad, and they're regrouping, and he slams his hand on the outside of the mat in frustration, and then he starts shaking it because he hurt himself doing it.
Yeah.
I thought that was a nice little touch. Nice little touch buried in just a really wild-ass angle that we've got here. The other thing I noticed during this, and I don't know why it took me this long to notice it, or it's just, you know, it comes up now, but you know, you hear people that sometimes talk about Ricky Morton being small, but he did a set of moves with Dr. Tom. He's not as thick as Dr. Tom, but he's taller than him. So I just was wondering if sometimes Morton gets a bad rap for being small when, I mean, he's not, you know, Barry Windham or anything, but
he's a small guy by wrestling standards. I mean,
sure,
yeah,
that's where that's coming from. But I mean, he's not. It's like he's not fucking 5'2" either.
He's not Leo Rush or some shit.
No, he's not that. He's not that short. Like Leo Rush and Jonathan Gresham are like really short.
Yeah, Leo. I didn't realize how small he was until I met him. I was like, damn, he's small.
Yeah, he's short. Him and Gresham are, like, really short. I mean, that's nothing against them. They make their height work for him. But, I mean, no, Morton is not that small. I mean, he's short guy by wrestling standards, but he's not 5'4" either. So, okay. Y'all want me to get into the rest of this thing, and then you can kind of jump in and get your shit in,
too? Yeah.
All right. So it gets good when the ref gets bumped, and then the Rock and Roll Express dispose of Cornette and hit the double drop kick on Stan Lane, but there's no referee to make the count because, like I said, the ref just got bumped. Morton is trying to revive the ref when Killer Kyle comes out and knocks out Morton. The Stud Stable then come back out, and now they're fighting Kyle and Gibson. The referee, is important to say, is still out cold. Gibson and Morton then get back in the ring. Dutch actually throws something to Morton, which Morton uses to knock out Pritchard. And then out of nowhere, Bobby Eaton comes out and top rope leg drops Gibson, who is at that point, you know, Gibson is on Pritchard, right, Doc? It's very chaotic. Referee comes back to life. Then Dutch... thanks to Dutch, who then throws the ref in. We get a count of three as Pritchard is on top of Gibson. And the Heavenly Bodies, now with Bobby Eaton, are the new Smoky Mountain Tag Champs. I said a lot, and it's really hard to recap because it's so chaotic. Harper, what in the fuck did we just watch?
Yeah, that shit was nonstop, huh?
It was insane. Trying to take notes, I was like, there's no way I'm going to be able to communicate everything that
crowd,
happened.
That crowd got their money's worth.
They sure the hell did. They sure did.
Mm-hmm.
Doc, I'm sure you got plenty.
One thing I did notice, you talk about the ref bump. Curtis took a hell of a great bump towards the camera off the apron. I thought that was great. It looked like $1 million. New champs, huh?
New champs. And I mean, the local promo at the very beginning, a little while ago that we were listening to, kind of gave it away, because Morton goes, we're going to get those titles back, and we hadn't seen the belts get dropped yet. But right. Whatever. I mean, that's a minor thing, I guess, that happened. Anyway,
so
yeah.
We got some
new champs.
So
man.
We've got another huge name entering the promotion.
Slightly huge name, yes. I'm saying that to be funny. But Bobby Eaton is now here. Come on. I mean, does it get much better than that?
So tell me, because here's the thing. It's been over a year now since I've watched this. I had completely forgotten about it. I mean, I know it happens, but I completely forgot when it was happening. So tell me, Harper, did you pop when you saw Eaton on the
screen?
Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck? What the fuck's he doing here? This is fucking great.
Smoky Mountain delivers again.
Yep.
I had to force myself not to binge watch, because it was like 2 in the morning. I was like, I need to go to bed, man.
Yeah, it will make you binge watch when you see that, because you're like, okay, I got to see what really happens now.
Because now you're like, right, what happens next?
Yes. I just got this major name come out.
Yes.
I need to see where this goes. And
I mean, this is a great fucking stable.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Wait 7 weeks. Wait 7 weeks and we'll get back on that topic.
Yeah, we got... it's getting ratcheted up here. All right. Now, so all that happened, and in between that, they have a local promo. I'm going to play it, but I'm not going to it right now. We're going to go to, after the fallout, the Heavenly Bodies just win the titles back. We all saw what happened. We got the surprise. Bobby Eaton is now in the territory. And now we're going to throw it to Bob Cottle with the Heavenly Bodies with Jim Cornette. Here it is.
Friends, I've been trying to sort it out. I still don't know what all happened. What a shock it is to see this man right here, Bobby Eaton here. And I do know this. Out of all of that happened, the only thing I know at the moment is that we've got new tag team champions, the Heavenly Body.
You know, it shouldn't be any surprise, because everybody realizes that Jim Cornette gets things done. The Heavenly Bodies are champions, and now the greatest day of my life, beautiful Bobby Eaton is back where he belongs once and for all, brother. And I'm going to tell you something. And I want you to listen right now, Bobby. I tell you, it's so great. I wish there was 3 tag team belts so that you could have one too.
Bobby, his belt.
Thanks, buddy.
Well, no, wait, we'll work it out later on. But the important part is, I want the Stud Stable to realize. I want the Rock and Roll Express to realize. Load the wagons, brother, because I got the horses that can carry the load. Beautiful Bobby, Sweet Stan, and Dr. Tom, the 2 greatest tag teams of all time, have been combined into a single unit. And you can chant rock and roll all you want to, but the point is that we are together, we're champions, and we'll remain so. Everywhere that you see the Heavenly Bodies scheduled to appear from this point onward, you'll see Bobby Eaton, you'll see Stan Lane, and you will see Dr. Tom Pritchard, Rice Stanfield.
2 of the greatest tag teams in our history, in the annals of professional wrestling, are reunited. The greatest day of my life. Beautiful Bobby Eaton is back. This is it. We've got the goal.
Hey, wait.
Stay out here, baby. And I think I just found the big rotten piece of tuna standing right here.
Let me tell you something. You and you, Golden, and you, I don't know, Chewbacca, whatever your name is, you come out here, you were scared. That's why you didn't show up. You come out here with this cockamamie story about having 4 flat tires over at the hotel, and you expect people to believe it.
4 flat tires? You son of a...
We got loud here, and everybody's breaking up. Stan Lane, Jimmy Golden, Dutch Mantell on Bobby Eaton. Tom Pritchard. Again is broken up. 8 guys, 9 counting Cornette.
All right, mayhem breaks loose. Harper, I'll throw it to you first.
Brother, that crowd's fucking hot, huh?
Oh, yeah.
This is how you get people to tune in to watch it next week. It's with shit like this.
Yeah, well, it made you want to binge at 2 a.m.
Yes, yep.
it grabbed your attention because then you got to see how it plays out. Doc, right. Go ahead, Doc. I'm sure you got some thoughts, too. Motherfucker's on mute again.
Stop hitting mute on me, pal.
Nobody's hitting mute on you. That is an impossible thing to do through Skype. I can't mute you. I can hang up on your ass.
You edit out half the things I say about these people.
Editing out and muting are two different things, asshole.
So, the four flat tires deal is an homage to the Austin Idol deal from 1980, just so that you know, if you want to give that to Watts as well.
I was going to say there's something similar that they do with Bob Roop and Paul Orndorff in 82 Mid-South early on.
Yeah. But I'm sure, the Austin Idol deal was in 1980, so I'm sure Bill Watts came up with it.
Why are you such a fucking dick?
Well, if you had to put up with you as much as I do, you'd be a dick too. So they got three wrestlers for two belts. Wondering if there'll be enough basketballs to go around.
Mm. Trying to tease people with that one.
Yeah. There's only one basketball, right?
Well, you know, that's what they say. That's your analysis?
That's it?
That's all you got?
Okay, how about this? This is how you go off the air instead of NWA Saturday Night where they have the hot angle and then you go to Bob Owens and Baron Von Raschke fighting.
Yeah, huh?
So you're burying the NWA now?
I sure as hell am. I told you, Smoky Mountain's the best promotion of all time.
Yeah, well, you know. I love Cornette when he said, you come out here with this story about four flat tires, and the stud stable ain't said nothing about having four flat tires. So it's like you just admitted guilt because you know what actually happened, even though they haven't said anything about it. That was great. And like you said, they start brawling, and all of a sudden, so to the point Harper made a few weeks back, you know, he's like, are we about to see a face turn? No, but we got two heel stables or teams. We got a babyface team, and it's just a three-way dance between these sumbitches beating each other's ass. So, and that they go off air with all three teams brawling. The Rock and Roll's pissed. They lost the titles. They don't really give a damn if Bobby Eaton showed up or not. They've dealt with him before. It's crazy, man. It's just an insane scene, and it makes you want to tune in, like Harper said, the next day and binge watch.
Yes.
Or next week, I should say. So, all right. We did have all that said, we did have a local promo in there, Doc, and I actually thought there was some good stuff in this, so I'm on the fly trying to get this queued up. But did you?
You should because I said made a note to have you play this because Corny's on it.
Yes. So here it is. Here's the local promo. Now they play this before everything we just heard, but yeah, we saved it till the end. So here you go.
White boy against the wild-eyed Southern boy, Tracy Smothers. No time limit, no disqualification. Kevin Sullivan against primetime Brian Lee. For the tag team titles, the Rock and Roll Express against the Heavenly Bodies. And an extra added six-man tag match, the Heavenly Bodies, Stan Lane, Tom Pritchard, and beautiful Bobby Eaton coming to Barberville to take on the stud stable, Robert Fuller, Jimmy Golden, and Dutch Mantell.
Brother, all those people in Barberville, you better go knock over a convenience store. You better knock some old lady in the head, take her purse, or else why just pile all your food stamps together and go out and get a couple of tickets. Come on down to Knox Central High School in Barberville, Kentucky. Because you stinking, slimy, hillbilly rednecks, you've never seen this much collection of wrestling talent before in one place in your entire deprived lives. The man's back in the fold, beautiful Bobby Eaton. Now there's three Heavenly Bodies. Sweet Stan Lane, Dr. Tom Pritchard, beautiful Bobby Eaton, the greatest tag teams of all time. Just put them in there, melt them down, and make, without doubt, the greatest combination ever in sports. Rock and Roll Express, we already got your belts. Now we're going to take the hide off your back and finish you once and for all. And then, Robert Fuller, Jimmy Golden, Dutch Mantell, the stud stable. You've been a lot of brag and a lot of boast. Well, right there in Barberville, that's right, we're doing double duty that night. Right there in Barberville Stud Stable, you're going to be the ones to go down at the hands of the bodies.
Accommodations for this event were provided by Holiday Inn Express, I-40, exit 125, Highway 70, southeast in Hickory, North Carolina. The simplified version of the Great American Classic Holiday Inn, with affordable rates, free breakfast bar, fax service, meeting facilities, free in-room movie channel, and efficient check-in and check-out express. You'll enjoy friendly quality service from Holiday Inn Express. For reservations, call area code 704-328-2081 or 1-800-HOLIDAY.
Just for the record, that Holiday Inn Express gets 4.7 out of 5-star rating online.
There you go.
No one is staining.
I had them with the 4.2, but still. Okay.
No one is staining the sheets and leaving their jizz everywhere. If they are, they're cleaning it up after.
Did you hear that it's on a major interstate? That helps. That means, you know.
Yeah, it's always nice to know that there's classy rat-banging establishments that are in this world. So, I agree.
But they're lying because there ain't a hotel ever existed that has an efficient check-in and check-in process.
I don't know where you go, but I can't.
I don't flip them a 20 down at the Nooner Hotel and bang some rat like you do.
Okay. Yeah. I got a feeling, but Doc, you wanted to say something about the Cornette promo.
Oh, he's feeling his oats here, man. He's just pulled a big coup and he's happy, and it's like. They're pulling double duty. He's on top of the world. He's bulletproof, 9 feet tall. He's got it going on, and it's just he's lathered up and letting him have it.
Pretty much, Harper. You?
I just hope someone really goes and robs a gas station, and they get arrested. And they're like, "Why'd you do it?" It's like, man, I had to get some fucking wrestling tickets.
People took their wrestling serious back then, man.
Hell yeah.
They truly did. They treated it.
Maybe this world would be a better place if more people tried that again.
Yeah.
Not the way it used to be, man. It ain't the way it used to be. That's for damn sure. Oh,
and
boy.
And it never will be.
Nah, it never will be. Okay, let's do disability checks. I'm going a 9.0 on this one. Bobby Eaton comes in. We got a little Ron Wright, but that main event, Stud Stable, Cornette promo, I'm going a 9. Doc, what are you going?
I'm going to revert back to my being a harder grader here. Give me an 8.3.
Harper's over there messing with his binder, getting his papers out. You hear it in the background.
Harper, yeah. Oh, shit. I know I wrote this down somewhere. Fuck.
Fuck.
What you think, Harper?
I'll give it a 9 because it surprised the hell out of me with Bobby Eaton.
Yeah, I remember watching it and seeing it, and I messaged Doc the next day because I was watching it late at night. I actually saw it before. I had gone ahead a little bit before I actually was making the notes for the show, and I was like, man, Bobby Eaton just came in, and he goes, I was waiting for you to get there because I've been not wanting to spoil it. But I was like, holy crap, Bobby Eaton's there. So we got Bobby Eaton and Stan Lane, who were, you know, members of one of the incarnations of the Midnight Express, and, you know, Dr. Tom's with him. And this is only the beginning of it. That's the good part of it. So I had to go 9, too. I definitely went 9. It was just very good. All right, everybody, I need to ask you all, if you love what we do with the 8 shows we do every single month, consider becoming a patron. Go to tinyurl.com/BTCpatron. It's a great way to support the show. You know, it's your ongoing support that makes us keep doing this. We do 8 free shows a month on time, every single Thursday, every single Sunday, out there for you. You know they're going to hit, so please consider supporting the show. It really does help out. I want to shout out the Hall of Fame patrons. We got at T-Hog94, at Gerald Green, at USC 49ers Dodger, at SV Pageum, at Martin Howell 71, at Tim Moretti, Codeman822, at Unconvinced Ray, and at Godbold Unreal. Thank you for being Hall of Fame patron members. We appreciate your support of the show. Again, it's tinyurl.com/BTTpatron. Doc, I said it last week. When's the last time we missed a show?
The next time will be the first time.
Right. So, that said, we pump them out each and every week for you. While we're talking about becoming a patron, if you don't want to spend patron money, that's fine. At least use the Amazon referral link. tinyurl.com/BTCAmazon. Great way to support the show because you're not spending anything extra. You're just spending money on what you're already buying. And give that goddamn link to your girlfriends and wives and have them go on shopping sprees because they're already doing it. So just give them the link. Again, it's tinyurl.com/BTTAmazon. I know they spend money because mine and Doc's do. And hey, Hopper's Ring Rats
do. I got a question
do.
For you.
So does, give does them you, the link.
I got a question for you.
Yes.
Does your wife go to the store and see something like $3 for $5 and think that she has to buy all three to get them for $3 for $5 and doesn't realize you can just buy one?
Yes. I fucking hate that shit. It's such a everything is a work, man.
Everything.
$4 for $5. Well, how about I just buy one? How about you just buy one for $1.25?
Right. Yeah, just get one.
And then she goes, but these are $4 for $5.
Yeah.
She doesn't do that,
but women are the worst because they really see something shiny in a store and they have no control over their emotions.
It's because they have smaller frontal lobes of their brain. They can't help it.
They see like something. Fish.
shining. They see it shining and just go. They just go right for that hook. Don't even think.
The natural selection process. Yes, you're right, Hopper. It's like a fish that's swimming in the sea. They see something shiny and bait on it, and they just go for it. And next thing they know, they're sitting in a frozen fucking ice chest dying,
right? That's right.
If I could time travel, I'd go back to the 1800s, scoop up about five women, bring them to today, and within 5 minutes, they'd all just be looking at these today's women and going, you bitches are soft.
Oh, boy. But you're right, dude. They walk into a store. I see it every time I go in a goddamn Target with my wife to go get freaking groceries. They walk in, and there's that stupid-ass dollar fucking section right at the very front.
Yeah.
And then you got to walk
like a
through.
Light, that's like a light for moths. That's what that is.
That's exactly what it is. You know what it is? Back in the old days, my grandfather and grandmother lived in a country, and they had one of those blue lights for the mosquitoes that hang up, and the fucking big-ass horse flyer mosquito flies into it, and you get a zzz, zzz, and it kills them.
It's called a bug zapper, idiot.
A bug zapper. That's what that is for women. That's what the freaking dollar thing is when you walk into Target for women.
Except they walk into it, and you get zapped.
Yeah, you get fucking zapped and murdered. Jesus Christ. And you know the worst part about that? We're getting sidetracked, but you know the worst part about that is 6 months to a year later, whatever they bought in that little section is gone. They don't think about it. It's thrown in the trash for the next time they see the next shiny new fucking fish hook that they're going to bite, right?
Yes.
Jesus, broad logic. Speaking of broad logic, there are plenty of broad logic patron episodes that we've done.
If I walk in a store, it's because I know what I'm going to get, and I'm going to figure out the most direct path to get to that spot and the quickest way to get back to the front and pay and get the hell out of there.
A fucking men, bruh. Amen. Jesus. So, again,
I got small kids, so they drink milk. I mean, shit, they drink milk like crazy. So every once in a while, I run up to the store. So as I'm pulling in the parking lot, I'm like, okay, milk's on this side of the store, so I'm going to park on this side so that I can speed this shit up and run to the back of the store where they keep that milk, that fresh cow titty milk, and grab it and get right back up, not picking up one other thing, and get back in my car as quick as I possibly can.
Bitches can't do that, bro.
Mm-mm.
No.
They go in, and they will forget what they went in for.
Mm-hmm.
100% forget what they went in for.
It's their tiny brains.
Broad fucking logic. Okay. We didn't give our government cheese yet. We just got sidetracked on a fucking 10-minute discussion. Government cheese. Bobby Eaton? I mean, how do we not do that? I would be really confused how we don't give it to Bobby Eaton.
He gets it.
Yeah, I mean, you know. Doc, what about you?
Robert Earl Eaton. Yeah, remember him and his. Remember when he was a Blue Blood with Steve Regal?
Oh, yeah, I remember when they did that.
I remember that. Yeah.
Wow.
They were like, let's take every Southern Territory wrestler that was great and give them something stupid to do.
Bullshit.
Yeah, he popped on the screen and went to the top rope, and I was like, God damn.
Yeah, buddy.
And Corny, and it's real hard to not want to give it to Corny or everyone involved in the brawls, but Eaton popped the territory, so Eaton gets the cheese.
Yeah, it's hard to not give it to Corny with the line about the four tires and then Robert Fuller calling him a son of a bitch and attacking him. Because you don't hear it in the audio just now, but that's exactly what happened.
This is a classic example of why this territory is so awesome, is that that was a fantastic episode that was highly entertaining. It's, if you've never seen it, it surprises the crap out of you. And they have a tendency to do that once every couple of months for about 2.5 years straight.
Well, Corny does it. They don't hot shot it. Like, the last big surprise we had, maybe not the last big one, but last thing that was built up.
Was Sullivan?
Smothers came in. That's right. Did Smothers come in before the Master?
I think so.
Yeah.
So but there wasn't really a big build up, but it still was really impactful when he shows up. But then you had that long build up, and then Sullivan comes in, and it's just chaos. Which pops things. But then you have, I don't want to say you have a lull, but you have a time period where you don't really have any real, real big surprises. You have things that obviously are entertaining. And then this happens, and it's like, shit. Every so often, every 12 weeks, every 3 months, we get some nice surprise, something real big.
And that happens deep into 95. From now until deep into 95.
Right.
Time you're like, oh, we're just going to run with the same guys, boom, here comes somebody. Here's something new.
Some special, situation happens, and I agree. That's what made it great. So I'm right there with you. Everybody got the same government cheese, and we all gave it pretty high ratings.
Yes.
Oh, boy. So now that we bagged on our wives, please remember, use their, send them to the Amazon referral link. Again, it's tinyurl.com/BTTAmazon. Make sure they use it. Make sure your girlfriends, wives use it, because like Harper said, we know they're like a fish with a fish hook, and they bite down. And then once they realize they bite down, they're dead. Not that our Amazon referral link will kill anyone, but there's that. I'm trying to think, man. Go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/bookingtheterritory. Please click the like button and then click the shop now button. It'll bring you to our Pro Wrestling Tees store. Twitter at @BTC_podcast. I'm at Mike504Saints. Hardbody Hoppers at CJH Hudat. And then check the show notes if you missed any of the links in the that I presented here, because they are all in the description of the show and you can click on them there. Doc, you got anything else before we get out of here?
Nah, man, I'm plum tuckered out from some kick-ass wrestling.
This was a very good episode. Harper, you got anything?
No, sir.
All right. Well, Harper, hit the tagline and get us out of here, where this week we talked episode 53 from January 30th of 1993.
Bucket, bitch.